The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Well, Parky, how are you after those three games in 9 days?
I'm wanting more. Never mind all these coaches saying that they want less rugby league. I want more of it.
You want more?
I want more. Yes, it's a bit like that scene off Oliver, isn't it? That's where he goes,
please, sir, can we have more?
He goes, oh, please, sir, can I have some more rugby league, please?
The players are saying, no, we're shattered. We need a break.
No, that's just the coaches. The coaches are saying that.
Jimmy Lowe's had a go at it, saying they need to have a rethink about this two-match game period over a four-day period as well. He's mentioned it. Who else has come out saying he should be thinking about playing well for? Dennis Betts says it's absurd.
Dennis Betts has, yeah. We've also had Tony Smith, usually, as he say, doesn't he, over at Warrington?
Yeah, I mean, he was. I'm sure he might have been happy being at home and away at Widnes, but unfortunately, results-wise, it didn't happen for them, did it?
Yeah, very, very mixed bag at Easter, wasn't it? Mm. But, yeah, and then, as you mentioned, Dennis Betts, he's called for Thursday night games, hasn't he? I know how much you like night games,
love
Adrian.
Them. Yeah, hate them and love them.
Well, love to hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something like that, anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, Easter's been and gone. We could have done a good Easter, bad Easter. We could be here all night, though, couldn't we? I mean, St. Helens were coasting up till Easter and they just fell apart.
Yeah, they were less than excellent. Sorry. Oh, I'll go home now.
Yeah, please.
No more yolk. Okay. Adrian, you can wake up.
Thank you very much.
There's no more jokes.
Welcome back to another Final Hooter. We're talking Rugby League as always on loverugbyleague.com, and a special mention to our friends at Radio General, the sound of Warrington Hospital, and that let us use this fantastic equipment that makes us sound like amateurs.
No, making us sound like professionals?
Well, we sound like amateurs, but this fantastic array of equipment in front of us does a good job to make us sound better than what we actually are.
It does, you're right.
Anyway, thank you to Radio General for the hospitality.
Okay, that's the plug done.
Okay, let's get him out of the way then. Let's move on with the good, bad and ugly, shall we, before
we talk
action. Starting off with the good, as always, the Leith Sports Village will again host Big Time Rugby League, a playoff to determine which country secures the final European qualifying spot for the 2017 Rugby League World Cup. And the game will take place on the 5th of November. It's going to be some fireworks there, man, in 2016.
Hey, I thought the jokes are finished. Just leave them to me.
By the way, that's in Australia, that World Cup, by the way.
Yeah, but I'm really pleased that, International Rugby League coming to the Leith Sports Village. The last time it was there, International Rugby League I'm talking about, sell-out crowd, wasn't it?
And that was on Bommy Night.
It was.
Fireworks galore all over the ground of Leith and on the pitch as well.
I think that's where Fui Maimai fell in love with Leith, isn't it? What ended up with him coming back to
Wow, he loves Leith that much. Actually ran through the crowd to score a try in a game a couple of weeks ago.
He certainly did, yeah. It was tremendous as well.
It reminded me of when Nave from Wood did it for Warrington a couple of years ago.
That is some going back now, isn't it? That's was that right in the first season when the
Halliwell Jones Stadium was built? Yeah. When he came back out, he said he'd been for a hot dog.
Didn't I'm just trying to think. Didn't Lee Breers do something similar as well?
He sat in the stand, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's what we like.
We do.
Other good news.
You're liking this because you're rubbing your hands.
I am. I'm loving it. It's because we've not.
You're excited.
We've not done one of these shows for a couple of weeks. That's what it is.
I'm all
pent up and ready and raring to go. I mean, you ran the last one, didn't you? You was doing all your jogging on the spot, and I'm just sort of like,
I was getting ready for the Easter period, but I'm with the coaches, knocking on the head.
Give over. Absolute tosh. It's been going for over 100 years. We need Easter.
But the thing is, right, Adrian Moore has been playing for 20 years now as a pro. You don't hear him moaning about the Easter period.
No, you don't. You only hear Jamie Peacock moaning about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, he's packing in beyond this season. So, you know, what he says doesn't really count anymore, does it?
No. He's going to Hull Kingston Rovers, of all places. Didn't see that one coming, did you?
No, I didn't see it coming either. Very, very... I was going to say odd appointment, but it's probably going to be a good appointment. I just wonder what he'll be doing in this role as football manager. Is it a coaching job or what?
We'll find out next year. But anyway, back to the good.
Okay.
You're excited about it, so you can say it.
Well, I can't see the piece of paper, so you'll have to read it.
It's regarding Alex Walmsley.
Oh, yes, Alex Walmsley. He's just agreed a new contract with St Helens, which sees him stay at Langtree Park until the end of the 2018 season. This sort of fends off NRL interest for the big prop forward, and he's highly rated at St Helens, and he loves the town, apparently, since he's moved there.
He would say that they're paying his wages. He said that about Batley.
Well, he would have loved Batley because they gave him his chance to be a professional rugby player, didn't they? You know, yeah. But I think that he's certainly one of the real bright sparks of the way that Super League has gone over the last couple of seasons, the way that he's been able to adapt to full-time rugby league. And Kieran Cunningham says that he's still learning as well.
In the Barda, Carly Lula is not doing well off the field in terms of injuries. Nightmare continues. He's facing another 6 weeks on the sidelines, this time with shoulder surgery. The 37-year-old prop has been missing since that defeat at Warrington a month ago. 37. Always difficult to come back with injuries like that, isn't it?
It is, and it's unfortunate, really, in a lot of respects, because you know, he's a very good player, Kylie Lulai. He's been one of those guys that Leeds have come to rely on over a number of seasons, and he was hoping ahead of this season to get the chance to outdo Jamie Peacock on the appearance charts for Leeds, but it doesn't look like that's an option at the moment, because he just keeps picking up these niggly injuries, and now he needs this shoulder surgery, doesn't he?
Sticking with guys in the 30s, more bad news. Is it a bad, is it a good? We're not sure. Salford having to turn to Wayne Godwin from Dewsbury. It's good for him.
Yeah, definitely good for
but
Wayne.
But it gets you questioning, what is it coming to when they're having to go through the ranks at the AJ Bell Stadium?
Yeah, they don't seem to have a lot of youth players coming through. I think that was the point that I was making there, because, I mean, you know, as good as Wayne Godwin is and was, and he was a fantastic player for Salford first time round, but he's a couple of years older now, isn't he? He's got a few more miles on the clock. He's 33, so, you know, will he have slowed down? He's not played an awful lot of rugby, to be honest, over at Dewsbury for the last couple of seasons, and I don't know. I just think it's a shame that they don't seem to have any youth coming through at Salford, despite
the big
bucks.
If they do, they sell them.
Yeah, or they just don't want to play him. Maybe that's the key. Maybe they think that they're not good enough to play. And it's a great shame that. And until Salford turn that mindset around and start promoting from within, then they're not going to be one of the big boys, in my opinion.
Right, Wakefield Trinity Wildcats. 18-0 defeat at Warrington. As good as they were, as good as the Wolves were, Wakey were terrible, according to you. I didn't write that.
They were dreadful. Right, they were awful.
But it sounds like James Webster has really rolled up the white flag for the rest of the season. Talk about every minute counts. Not for Wakefield, it doesn't. Have a listen to this.
Realistically, the club, we probably make a decision now that we wait for, we're the first team to get rid of the motto of every minute matters, and we wait probably to round 24 and try and get our team nice and fit and make a crack at that last seven games, which obviously will most likely be in the long one.
There you go. Every minute matters. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't matter if you're Wakefield. It matters if you're everybody else and you're striving to get into Super League. But, you know, they've waved the white flag. I think it's an atrocious comment. It just shows a complete lack of understanding for our sport over here from an Australian coach.
I mean, I know Wakefield are doing it tough in terms of injury, and they have got a small squad. So I can see where it's coming from in a little way, but it goes against what everyone's been banging the drum about with this new format.
And I don't get this, you know, about smaller squad, that they've had so much infrastructure, they've had so much money down the years over at Wakefield Trinity Wildcats. What have they done with it? The stadium's ramshackle, the team's ramshackle, they've got coaching staff in place that just wants to wave the white flag. What's going on there? I'm hoping that I get to find out over the next couple of weeks.
We will find out, because we'll be ringing you directly and telling you.
Well, I'm hoping so. I want answers, and I'm sure that Wakefield fans want answers too, because they deserve far better. There was a good 300 or 400 of them which came across the Pennines to take their place at the Halliwell Jones, and they weren't royally entertained by their own side. They were embarrassed by their own side. And I just feel that, you know, if he's putting across that sort of saying, what's that going to do to player morale?
In the ugly, Hunter's George Flanagan taking a dive after being tackled by Sheffield Eagles' Missy Talapapa. Don't like seeing that in rugby league. Rugby league's a tough game. Keep the dive in the swimming pool or football, but it is ridiculous. Have you seen the footage of this?
I did see the footage.
Tallapath is a rough, tough customer, but the way George Flanagan dove after him reacted, my word. 10 out of 10 for acting.
Well, there was a horse in the Grand National called Oscar Time, and I think that's what he did, didn't he? He took a dive, got his man sent off, and it's no wonder that he didn't play against Lee on Good Friday, to be honest, George Flanagan, because if he'd tried that sort of shenanigans against the Centurions, I'm sure that Lee's Big Pack would have had something to say about it.
I was going to say, if I was in the Sheffield ranks and he'd done that, I'd have took his head off.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I just think it's cheap, isn't it? It's really bad. It cheapens our game. It's stuff that we shouldn't be seeing, like you said, it belongs in other sports but not rugby league.
Wasn't a good weekend for Mark Aston. He was complaining about that, and then he was complaining about the tackle by Featherstone Rovers' Jai Hitchcock on Sheffield Eagles' Brett Turner. Boy, it was an ugly one, and his reaction as well was terrible.
Yeah, I think for me it was more the reaction than the actual tackle itself. The tackle was a shoulder charge, a dead set shoulder charge. You think penalty every day of the week. Penalty didn't ensue from that, but it was more Hitchcock's reaction afterwards, because he towered over. He actually, you know, sort of threw the verbals at young Brett Turner as well, who deserves far better than that. And I can completely understand, you know, Mark Aston's stance there, because he just wants protection for his players. He wants players to be treated with respect. And to be fair, that was an action which didn't include a lot of respect.
Moving away from the good, bad and the ugly, as always, we like talking about that one. I mean, hopefully it will get you talking about what we've discussed as well. But let's talk about the action, shall we? Plenty to talk about. Three rounds to get through. We're not going to go through all the results. We'll be here to next Easter, won't we? But we're going to give you the pick of the action from round 8. And for me, it was Widnes' stunning win over Warrington in game 1 of the Easter period.
Yeah, this is Super League, of course, isn't it?
And Super League.
That was flair and all, wasn't it? Which ended up disrupting matters. So I think that, you know, Widnes deserve a pat on the back for being able to recover from that, and the fact that everybody went off the field to keep their...
health and safety gone mad for me, Matt.
Yeah, yeah. But I suppose, you know, you've got to keep in mind the safety of everybody involved, haven't you? But they were afraid that the artificial pitch might have caught fire, perhaps, you know. But I don't know. I don't know enough about the incident. But Widnes, very, very good on that day. They're just infuriatingly inconsistent, aren't they, Widnes? Because they can be brilliant, put a performance like that together, and then back it up with a 2 horror showings over the rest of the Easter period.
Hmm.
I think the pick for me, to be honest, from the Good Friday games was Salford's victory over Huddersfield, although there was a couple of, again, nasty incidents in that led to players getting banned. Rangi Chase has found himself the wrong side of the beak again, 7 matches he's been banned for. But, you know, they were inspired with Salford on that day, beat Huddersfield by 18 points to 12. Josh Griffin having a great game. He's having a good season at the moment. He's young Josh. He's got to try and kick 3 goals as they won 18-12.
Moving on to round 9, the pick of the action for me, Parky, Castleford, piling on the misery for Warrington over the Easter period with that brilliant performance on the road to get their first victory of the season on the road.
I think Cass have been pretty good. They've been unlucky to have lost some of the games that they have done over the course of the season. And obviously, they've gone to Warrington with a good game plan. They've, you know, harried and harassed Warrington where they could. They've come up with the points. But to be honest, it was one of them games that could have gone either way, that, wasn't it? And I think it's immense credit to Darryl Powell that he's been able to coach a victory there. Yeah, good one. For me, the top result of the Easter Monday games was actually Hull managing to beat St Helens. Now, just a couple of days before, Lee Radford was in fear of his own job, wasn't he? Because they ended up going down quite meekly at home to the nearest and dearest at Hull Kingston Rovers. And next thing you know, they're turning it on against the champions. Jamie Scholl there having a particularly good influence, scoring a couple of tries. And, you know, he's a good fullback, him. And I'm glad to see him back doing well for Hull. And nice to see Hull winning, actually.
We've just given our ideas of the pick of the action from round 8 and 9, which is the Good Friday and Easter Monday, or Monday Thursday as it was for Widnes and Warrington. But who were the winners in round 8 and round 9 as well?
The rest of the winners in round 8 was Leeds against Castleford. Wigan played against St Helens and beat them. I've already mentioned Hull Kingston Rovers defeat in Hull. Catalans ran the Ringers through Wakefield by 40 points to 4. And in round 9, Catalans beat Widnes. Hull Kingston Rovers held on for a narrow defeat of Huddersfield. Leeds again put plenty of points on Wakefield. I'm seeing a pattern here with Wakefield, aren't you?
Yeah.
Salford 24, Wigan 18. Outstanding game there for Salford. We already mentioned about the Warrington and Cass and St Helens and Hull games.
You mentioned Wigan and St Helens, and our man Steve Manning caught up with youngster Ryan Sutton after the big win against the Saints.
Well, Ryan Sutton, you came off the bench and played in a Saints derby at first team level. Your thoughts on that and the win?
It was the best feeling I've ever played in. You know, I played in derbies as being a youngster in the 19s, but to play in front of 20,000 people is another experience, and to get the win on top of it, that's just tips everything off. That Saints are a good team, they've got good D, good attack, like just like us, but you know, I thought we were comfortable, we were persistent in what we did defensively. I thought we really manned up compared to the last couple of weeks. I think we're getting there now in attack. We just kept putting them under pressure. You know, it's obviously showed off with Budge getting the last try as well. I've had a good couple of weeks off getting training, getting back fit. You know, concussions happening again, but you know, I've really learned from it as well. You know, obviously not running straight at people, and you know, I'm obviously going to play against people who's a bit bigger than me, so just got to learn, get with it, and you know, I feel like I'm probably improved a bit there as well.
And from a team point of view, an important 2 points, and hopefully this could be the one that get them on the road to where they want to be.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's really helped us this, you know, Wigan Saints again, big derby, we've won it. I think we can just keep climbing from there, you know, keep climbing the ladder, keep getting better week in, week out.
You think you can?
I don't know. I think they're still short of a halfback for me, Wigan, but they are starting to get players back on board. Good to have Ryan Sutton joining us there, and thanks to Steve for gaining that interview for us. He's been missing from the team for a few weeks with about a concussion, so you know, the fact that he's come back and he's learned from it, he's obviously enjoyed that experience of playing in the big rugby league derby there between Wigan and St Helens, and yeah, they seem to be putting it together a little bit now, do Wigan, don't they?
The big news regarding Wigan Warriors is the fact that Sam Tompkins has said he's coming back home after this season in the NRL. Is he going to go Wigan or is he going to go Salford?
Well, I mean, to be honest, Sean Wayne's playing a good... he's playing his poker face at the moment, isn't he? Because he's not telling anybody anything, and he's hanging and playing his cards close to his chest at the minute. But I think that he's got to be fancied to go back to Wigan. But immediately, if Wigan signs Sam Tompkins, for me, that puts them in the market for winning the trophies next year.
Could go Salford though, because they might offload Kevin Lockie, and Lockie could go back to New Zealand, and Sam could go to Salford and join the Ku Cash Millions.
That is true. I mean, it's unfortunate for a lot, like you were saying, because he's just been dogged by injury and poor form. I noticed that they've had young Niall Evelds fill in at fullback over the last couple of weeks at Salford, who's a very good and able player himself, who always seems to score tries. Could a bit of Tompkins magic get there and, you know, inspire the Ku Cash Millions? Interesting.
Right, let's move on to round 10, shall we? And the pick of the action for me, Parker, was Warrington returning back to winning ways after that four-match unbeaten section.
That was four matches defeated.
Yeah.
That was the worst. They've had the worst run since 2009, haven't they?
Anyway, they got back to winning ways by thumping Wakefield 80-0.
And it was a thumping, yeah, to be honest. I've said if there were a horse running the Grand National, Wakefield, you'd have had it put down, to be honest, by half-time. I thought that... well, I've said enough about Wakefield, to be honest. Let me praise Warrington instead.
Well done, Warrington.
We're excellent. You know, Richie Mile across for a hat-trick, good to see him. They had Declan Patton coming from under wraps, did Warrington too, a youngster, who did very, very well on his first team debut. Looks like he could really mix things up in the halfbacks at Warrington, and probably gives them something to look forward to, I think. But yeah, it was a great victory, that one. My pick of the action from that round was St Helens getting back on the horse and beating Huddersfield 11-8. Now, this was a bit of an almost rugby union game, I suppose, in some respects, because there was only one try each, a couple of goals there for Danny Brough. But I think more importantly, Luke Walsh came back for St Helens, and he's not been in action for quite a long time. So to get him back on the field, again, that maybe moves things up a notch for St Helens, and he was able to notch a drop goal and 3 goals on his first game back.
Well done to Saints to get back to winning ways as well. We've had 3 rounds of Rugby League in Super League to talk about. Let's give you a triple coaches corner. We've got Radford, we've got Smith, And we've got Daryl Power all in Coach's Corner right now.
Well, Lee, is that a victory that's been waiting to happen?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think the effort we've been putting in games and you know, testament to the squad. They keep knuckling down. They keep, you know, battling away, and to get that today is really important for us.
Some of the quality of stuff that you played was superb.
Yeah, I was really pleased. You know, we didn't have many troops left, but we went with three hookers. You know, in a team that we thought we could have got them in and around the ruck in a little bit. And it's ironic that it's our fullback that actually gets them through the ruck. So, that paid off for us today, and I'm really pleased with that. And you know, just over the moon with the effort that they've put in again. You know, we lost Thursday's game, obviously, in the derby. It was a massive disappointment. Really tough place to come back from, having lost that game and the manner that we lost it. You know, we threw a lot at, or we had a lot of possession and a lot of field position against Hull King and Rovers and come up with nothing. And they come down our end three times and score. So to. It was the old rope-a-dope, I suppose, and you know, to lose that is hugely disappointing. So to pick ourselves up and muster the effort up that we have done today is, you know, credit to the group, I suppose. That would have been a real easy game to throw if the commitment and the effort there wasn't there from each other, to each other. You know, we could have quite easily come away with nothing today, but I think you know, if Carlsberg did advertisement for Team Spirit, I think you've just seen one. With that effort, anything can happen. But you know, there's still some real areas of improvement for us. We could have made that a little bit easier than it was today. But you know, if you can turn up with that effort and desire every day, you're going to be in games, and that's what we have been doing. Unfortunately, we've come out on the wrong side of one or two this year, which is disappointing. But it's not through lack of effort, and it's not through lack of enthusiasm or commitment for each other. We just got to play that little bit smarter and maybe get that bounce of that ball on one or two occasions as well, and I'm sure things will turn around.
And finally, your speckies must be a good 1,000, 1,500, and from the opening second they were behind you, and that's a great reward for them, isn't it?
Absolutely, over the moon for them as well, because they're diehards that are out there today. You know, we've copped some real criticism, obviously, over the last couple of weeks in terms of results. You know, there's been shots from my head, and you know, the players don't play for him, and like I say, you know, Danny Outon pulled me straight after the game and said, "Can you make sure you get the fans a mention, because that result was for them. What's turned up today, they had a massive." Outcome on that affected, you know, just by the getting behind the group when we needed it, you know, certainly defending on trial line.
That was awesome feeling to watch the players battling out a real tough win against a side that had been lost the last three and were desperate to win today at home. You know, it obviously puts a little bit of pressure on Warrington from our perspective. Just a great effort, you know, to come here, second game over Easter. We played Leeds, which is obviously a fair challenge. They're going well at the moment, and to come out on top just shows how much character there is in the side.
Certainly plays well defensively as well.
Yeah, defence was superb. We just kept turning up for each other. Warrington put us under a fair bit of pressure when they shifted the ball. But we hung in. We hung in and defended well. And you know, we were constantly working off our own line, particularly in the second half. But we found a way. And I think that, you know, the teams that have got a fair bit of character, they do that. They find a way to ride out the tough times and get themselves down the other end and get some points. And I thought we were superb at doing that once we got our opportunities.
I can say when you did get the opportunities, some well-taken tries.
Yeah, well, we didn't play as much as we normally do, and we were pretty tight with our game today. But we controlled the ball really well. We didn't give much away, which we did last week against Leeds. So that was pleasing. We minimised Warrington's opportunities, and our defence was pretty special on our try line, I thought.
I suppose one major concern is the loss of Luke Dawn.
Yeah, it's obviously disappointing. Tansy slotted in there and did a good job in his absence, but he's been playing really well, Dawn. He's just picking up a couple of injuries here and there, which is making life difficult for him, but yes, that's the spot, isn't it? So hopefully he's not going to be out for too long.
All we can do is do our job, and I thought we did our job very, very well. With some changes and some people who came in and did a really, really strong job for, you know, well above their years, I think. Great first ever game for Declan. I thought he was fantastic and, you know, directed us around like a player who's been there for a long time, really. You know, and he combined really well with not only Rich, but all the players around him. I thought he was terrific. And but that left side, and that's where spent most of his time mainly defensively, but Curry, I thought, was absolutely on fire there this afternoon. He was, and he's almost unstoppable when he gets into those sort of modes. We've all seen it before, and he's a terrific young player, and he was absolutely awesome, along with Toby, who got a call night before last. We knew that he might have been a chance of playing, so he's had one training session with the first team before he team run, and goes out and performs like that. Shows what a great talent he is. So, and then Gene took his opportunity on the wing as well. I thought he had a great start and performed really well. So that left side were really on fire. Everybody played well, but I thought that left side were terrific, you know, really good. And some of our middle people did a fantastic job as well, and a bit of contribution from some of those right-siders as well. We had to get out there and do a job, and I thought we did it really well. It is totally going to be a different opposition that we're fronting up to in only a few days' time. We understand that, but if we can play with that sort of nous, smarts, energy, well, we can get in there and compete. And I think it showed everybody that we're a team that is capable. We may have been a little bit off our form in recent times, but we're a team that, when they put it together, is going to cause some problems for a lot of other teams this season, without doubt. But we've had a lot of faith in that. I know we've had a little bit of a rough ride in the last four games, not the last few weeks, but in the last four games. And I'd just like to thank all our support for sticking with us through all that. And hopefully we've repaid them a little bit there today and put some smiles on their faces.
Diggle, Coach's Corner, three happy coaches. But before we move on, let's hear from the guys on Rugby League Street.
Hello and welcome to this week's Rugby League Street. Today we're going to be discussing the Easter schedule in Rugby League. First of all, I personally think it's a very good idea. What do you guys think?
I like it. I'm just going to leave it at that. I like it. Easter weekend, it's a short, you've got a short bit of time off. You've got two bank holidays, Good Friday and Easter Monday. Why not fill it with some rugby league? It's a fantastic idea.
I like it on Good Friday, especially when it's all the derbies like we was discussing before. I think Wigan Saints, Warrington Widnes, and then in the Championship you've got Workington Whitehaven, which was a romping on this Good Friday. But I do like the idea of it all, and like with the Hull KR, Hull FC, it's fantastic, isn't it? And it's great to see on when it's televised as well.
And as well, it was, I think they reported bumper crowds. I think it was something like 20% increase on an average Super League game. And I think that's great to see that, it's almost an event in itself. It's a Good Friday game, and there's a real clamour for it from the fans.
Like Rob said, it is a very, very good idea. People are off work. Obviously, like you're saying about the crowds, people are just going to go, well, I'm off work, I'm going to go and have a few pints, watch a local.
Well, you look at today, we've been at the Lee Workington game, and there was a 3,000 crowd, and that's for a championship game, so it's another good crowd. And I think that shows that whatever level people have turned out to watch the local team, and obviously like Lee at one of the farm sides, but you look at like the whole derby had a 20,000 crowd, as did Saints Wigan. That was a sellout, wasn't it?
Wigan Saints set the third highest regular Super League attendance behind another Wigan Saints match and another Wigan Saints match. So
just over 24,000 was on, and it's good. It's very good. And being a Latics fan, I never see the DW full. And I seen someone on Twitter, and they put the DW actually looks good when it's full.
Well, any ground looks good when it's absolutely packed out. I mean, New Zealand Samoa for the World Cup at Halliwell Jones was fantastic. LSV here for Cook Islands Tonga, that was rocking. And again, for the Lee versus Bradford match at the beginning of the year, now that was possibly one of the best atmosphere I've been to, bar a Challenge Cup final, for any rugby league match.
This Easter schedule, we think it's brilliant, but there are people that don't think it's so good purely because of the quick turnarounds.
You've got your quick turnaround, you've playing Friday, playing again on Monday, so that's 2 days you've got in between, so a 3-day turnaround, we'll call it. You put your pressure on your players, but what I've noticed over the last few years is there's always one team who suffers more than the others. The two examples I'm going to use are Hull KR in 2013 against Wigan, got beat 84-6. The year after, Bradford Bulls against Wigan, got beaten 84-6. Blake Green, did run the show in both matches, but you know, for some teams, it's too quick of a turnaround because people work semi-professional. The semi-professional teams, it's unfair on that. Now, I'm not saying in the Super League, you know, that was the reason by the semi-professional. Sometimes it just tires you out. You know, you give it your all on the Good Friday match because it's a derby and you don't want to lose the derby. So you give it absolutely everything. Come Monday, you've got nothing left.
But it, like you referred to it there, you know, that semi-professional outfit in the Championship and the Championship one, it's more difficult for them than it is, you know, the Super League side. Because like you said, they will have done a week's work up until that Friday and then they're going to have to play Friday, Monday. And, you know, it's that intense schedule, you know, it decreases the quality of their games. And, you know, sometimes, like you've alluded to there, you get whitewashed scorelines. And we don't want to see that because that is what gives ammunition to these people that say we shouldn't be having such a, like, two games so close together.
It's all well and good looking at it from a fan's perspective. You're off and it's great and you love it because it's a great occasion, local derby. But look at it from a player's perspective. Do they really want to train over the weekend sometimes? You know what I mean?
Well, you'll get your two kinds of players. There's the ones that I'd be, we've got a match on Friday. Oh yeah, we're playing again on Monday. Let's get going. Let's have another game. And then there's the other players you just go, I've played. I'm absolutely shattered. I'm dead on my feet. And I've not got that time to recover. I can't. I don't know whether I'm going to be good enough. So it's a mental state more than anything.
As well as you mentioned there, Rob, it depends what age you are as well as a player. If you're a young player, then of course you'll be ready and you'll be fighting. But if you're ready for retirement in the next one or two seasons, well, it's going to be difficult for you. If you're 34 and a prop forward and you've just been playing Saints on a Good Friday and then you go in playing someone like Hull or Warrington on the Monday, it's going to be hard and your body won't be able to physically cope with it if you keep pouring it through this mental and physical pressure.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the Final Hooter.
I'll tell you what, Parky, Easter may be done and dusted, but everyone's still talking about it. Even the guys on Rugby League Street were going on about it.
Yeah, they were. And I think they sounded like qualified coaches, didn't they, the way that they were speaking about it?
Maybe trying to copy Radford, March and Powell. Smith and Powell.
I don't know. That sounds like a firm of solicitors, doesn't it, Smith and Powell?
March is the partner. He's coming up very shortly. Anyway, let's move away from Super League and talk Championship and League One, shall we? At three rounds of the Championship, it's a busy week in the world of Rugby League over the last couple of weeks in terms of action. Round 7 saw Bradford defeat Halifax for me. That's the pick of the action. 19.
Yeah,
10 points off Richard Marshall's men then.
You did, 32-19. And to be fair though, Halifax were well in command at half time, leading 13 points to 2. But unfortunately for them, Bradford came up with a real humdinger of a second half to run away with it and win quite comfortably in the end.
Yeah, Bradford, after that first defeat of the season at the hands of Lee, they've got back on the winning road. They've got used to the Championship, haven't they? And they're showing the kind of form everybody expects them to show anyway.
Yeah, they've got ominously that sort of machine has got into speed and got up to speed. I think he's helped with that in Lee Gaskell though, because
he's class.
I talk about him every week, but fantastic player who should be in Super League, to be fair. And also as well, I think looking at you know, how they've been going, they had a good result on Easter Monday against Dewsbury. Sorry, that was away over there, and the fans are setting ground records everywhere they go as well because they're just following them in droves. They had over 4,000, you know, at Owl Lane, which can you imagine 4,000 being crammed in at Dewsbury, Adrian?
Wow, terrific atmosphere!
Absolutely superb. Yeah, so you know, well played to the Bradford Bulls at the moment. They continue to keep the heat on Lee Centurions at the top.
Moving on to round 8, the pick of the action for me, Whitehaven proving to be too strong for Donny, winning 41-16, and Whitehaven will be made up with that win because they've been the whipping boys of the championship so far as well, haven't they?
They have. They've had a really difficult time of it, you know, and I think the fact that they were turning to Widnes for help earlier in the season as well with players on dual contract maybe says that they were lacking a few big guys, weren't they, in the middle of the field. So yeah, like yourself, I was really pleased for Whitehaven, the way they were able to turn that round, but very, very disappointing as far as Doncaster are concerned. And you know, I just wonder where their first win is coming from, because at this moment
in
time,
Paul Cook is as well. In fact, he's that worried about it. He's packed in playing, just going to concentrate on the coaching.
Yeah, at this moment in time, they don't look a threatening team at all. You know, I saw them for half a game this past weekend. I know that's sort of round 9 of the championship, but they were very, very disappointing in that second half, where they seemed to have enough ball to win two games and couldn't get over the dry line, you know. So they need to find a way to get over there. For me, the pick of the action on Easter Monday, well, I'm going to go with my hometown Lee. You know, I
you
usually
would do.
Tend to give him a good mention, but
biased.
Everybody was on the lookout for Gareth Hawke's debut to see whether he would be a naughty boy, well, or whether he'd stay on the field and have an impact. And thankfully, it was the latter. Scored 2 tries on his debut to help Lee win by 54 points to 6 against Workington.
I've got a tenner. I'd be off the field within 10 minutes against Salford.
Well, if it was up to Marwan Kukash, he wouldn't be on the field at all, to be fair. So you're already ahead of him in some respects, aren't you there? But anyway, enough of that. And that for me was, again, just showed how dominant the Centurions can be against, you know, some of the lesser lights that are in this competition.
Yeah, 100% record of the Centurions got. Can they go all the way this year unbeaten?
No. Somebody's going to beat him somewhere. It's impossible to be at your best every single week, as they showed in round 9 over at Sheffield. Sheffield gave them the toughest encounter of the season. Very, very physical. We've already talked about Missy Talapapa earlier in the show, and the fact that he certainly you know, offers a lot to Sheffield, and he must have been black and blue after the game, because Lee really gave it to him. He was a very, very physical encounter. Sheffield actually led the game 22-18 with 17 minutes left, only for Lee to score 3 tries, 2 of those in the last 2 minutes for Jake Emmett, who'd had an awesome game, and Ryan Briley, who has got back to ominous try-scoring form with his 11th of the season.
In round 9, the pick of the action for me, Fev coming back from 14-0 down against Batley and winning 23-16, which suggests they were running down that hill in the second half.
And I think you're right as well. In fact, all but 2 of the points in that game were scored going downhill at Mount Pleasant. Featherstone have sort of struggled, mainly at home, strangely enough, which has been a fortress for them over recent seasons. But yeah, they certainly got back to winning ways. Couple of good tries that were scored from the highlights, but a first try for Featherstone as well from Rennie Matui. They finally got him over here, a man who's played over 150 games in the NRL competition. It's good to finally have him here boosting the championship.
Before we talk about League One, let's hear from Paul March after the win against York in the opening game of the season.
So Paul, started the new league campaign with a win today against York.
Yeah, I thought it was a tough game, you know, a tough start. Defensively, you know, we come up with one bad read in that first half and tried solving it individually, and they scored a try off it. But, you know, we soon sorted that out, and I thought we defended and attacked as one today. And, you know, completion at 97% in first half and 85% in second half. You know, if you're keeping that ball, you know, other sides doing a lot of defending, and I think that's what the difference between two sides today.
The York side started to tire out towards the later stage of the game, and they almost described as pretty awful conditions here at Kruger Park today. Do you think that the way we've handled the pitch and the conditions well was a benefactor to the
I think the benefactor of winning the game today was completion. You know, I've just alluded to it that if we've got hold of the ball for 97% of the time, you know, the other side's defending, and I think that took its toll overall on the York side. But they never give in, you know. We looked to kick that penalty to put us 3 converted tries in front. You know, he missed that, and I think that put us edge down for the last 10 minutes. You know, not back going over. But I thought, you know, overall, I'm really pleased with how we started. You know, we just got to keep building for next week.
A lot of praise into the forwards today, sitting on the stands.
The forwards have been immense all year. Even when we've lost games, you know, they've been there, you know, carrying the ball up, doing all the defensive stuff. You know, against Swinton, we just had lapses in concentration on edges, or we would have won that game. And I just said to him before the game, the forwards had them in the group, and just said, look, you know, this is the engine room. You start ticking the engine over, and the backs will finish them. It worked perfect, didn't it? You know, that's exactly what happened. I thought we stuck to a game plan 100%, and we got the rewards off back of that.
Certainly did get the rewards. Good to hear Paul March talking about his win for Keighley against York. Thanks very much to Josh Chapman for supplying us with that exclusive interview with Paul March. He's a rough, tough cookie, isn't he, even as a coach?
He is, but I don't know, there's a soft side to him as well. I think we heard that, didn't we? You know, he obviously has a great affinity with his players there at Keighley Cougars. Was very unlucky to actually get relegated at the end of last term, and it's good to see the Cougars back to winning ways, and hopefully they can challenge at the top of League One over the course of the season.
Good to see League One back on the calendar as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and it's
a long time.
It's the most diverse competition that we have in rugby league in this country, isn't it? You know, we've got teams in Hemel, we've got South Wales, we've got Gloucestershire, there's Barrow. Tell you what, you wouldn't want to buy a second hand car off any player knocking around at League One level, would you?
Two rounds done and dusted. Who are the winners from round one?
Well, certainly in round one, Newcastle had a great start to the season. They beat Barrow 34-22, a hat-trick from Talley. You've already heard about Keighley's 28-12 victory over York City Knights. London Scholars, they lost at home to Hemel by 34-12. Oldham defeated Rochdale 23-16. Swinton and North Wales Crusaders held out for a draw, 14 points each. And Gloucestershire All Golds, they managed to defeat the South Wales Scorpions by 36 points to 6.
Yeah, the pick of the action for me in League 1, by the way, from Easter Monday. Let's give you the results. Pick of the action, we're around about. Too much rugby league, man. I can't digest it all.
Come on. Pick of the action. What was you saying?
Never mind. Let's go on with the results for round two.
Hang on, can I give you my pick of the action then?
What for?
For that first round.
All right, okay.
Yeah, because Coventry Burrs, they made their debut at home, didn't they?
They did,
the Butts Arena.
Well. Yeah, well
32-10, they beat Oxford. A couple of tries there for Eddie Medforth, who actually played for Sheffield last season. So there you go. Well done to the Burrs.
Let's move on to round two, shall we? Hemel Stags lost out to Keighley. Get off to a win start. 2-2 for them. They won 54-20. Newcastle defeated North Wales Crusaders 24-18. Oldham were too strong for Coventry 38-10. You'd expect that, wouldn't you? Oxford lost out to York 44-20. And the London Scholars defeated South Wales Scorpions 30 points to 12.
That's right, yeah. There was also a couple of results from the Saturday as well. Was it Barrow against Swinton? Because Barrow defeated Swinton 50 points to 12, and the Gloucestershire All Golds. I wonder whether this was planned, because they've had two home games on the run. They lost 38-18 at home to Rochdale.
I was going to say Barrow were shining under the new floodlights, weren't they, and dazzled Swinton.
See, like it. That's great, that. But for me, the results, I'm going to mention here Oldham against Coventry Burrs. Only, I'm doing double Coventry here, because Coventry have actually played Oldham now, surprisingly, three times in their very short history. And they're getting closer, because they lost 44-6 with the first game, 42-4 with the second game. This one was 38-10 to Oldham. So they are improving.
Fourth game could be a fourth game lucky for Coventry then, couldn't it?
You never know. There is going to be a fourth game as well.
There might be.
No, definitely. They've got to go back, haven't they? Because they've played one in the iPro. They've played one in the iPro Cup, one in the Challenge Cup, and one in the league. So there's definitely a return fixture on the card.
Speaking of the iPro Cup, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Semi-finals finally got done and dusted after both games being postponed due to the terrible weather in Manchester. Manchester and rain never goes hand in hand, does it?
No, never.
Never rains in Manchester.
No, it pours. That's
exactly.
It.
So anyway, both games were postponed and they were played. And Dave, you've got the results from those games.
I have. The first semi-final was played over at Sedgley Park, where Swinton beat Newcastle 36 points to 28. Interesting scorer here, Adrian. Jordan James getting on the try-scoring form.
Wow, he's a strange character. He packed in. Yeah. Then he went working for Wigan. Had a cameo role last year. He must have loved it that much. He's decided to come back from retirement.
Oh, he just loves rugby league. He's like us, isn't he, to be honest? But yeah. Also interesting there, Chris Atkin who is the man who's keeping out Mick Nanning from the team at the moment. He scored 2 tries and kicked 6 goals. Other interesting try scorers, Matt Gann. What happened to him? He was over at Lee, played at Widnes.
Went to Rugby Union,
tried
play
his luck.
Play for Brazil.
Tried his luck to play for Brazil, which is, you know, he'd make a fascinating guest, wouldn't he, with his rugby league and general
rugby
knowledge.
How does a man
knowledge.
From Barrow get to play for Brazil?
I don't know, we'll have to ask him, won't we? Yeah. For Newcastle, they had a star of the show in Jordan Meads, who scored a hat-trick, but it wasn't enough to lift them out of getting a winning position there. But interestingly enough, have you seen who's over for them now? Oh, he's one of my favourite players, Charlie Wabo. Do you remember him from a couple of years ago, before the last World Cup?
Yeah,
he was over with Hunslet.
He was.
He was a real fan of the Hunslet.
We're on the match with Wabo's army.
I know, great, wasn't it? In the second semi-final, Oldham, they couldn't do enough to beat North Wales Crusaders. North Wales Crusaders winning by 18 points to 16. Great second half, by the way, from the Crusaders. They kept Oldham scoreless. Oldham had scored tries through George Tyson and Danny Langtree, Palfrey kicking a hatful of goals, but North Wales Crusaders, they came back with tries from Rob Masson, Ryan Duffy and Jason Dallimore. Tommy Johnson there, your mate Tommy.
Best kicker in the league, according to the Crusaders fans.
He's a great kicker, yeah. He kicked 3-3, and that was the difference. 18 points to 16, the Crusaders won. So it means that Swinton will play against North Wales Crusaders at Blackpool for the iPro Sports Cup.
I made up Wales, North Wales are there anyway, because they're the original holders of that bowl cup we had.
They are, yeah. They played against London Scholars, didn't they, a couple of years ago. That was a game and
so
a half
as
well.
Can they regain their crown and retain their crown, I meant to say?
Well, I think it's all going to be interesting there. They'll fancy the chances, won't they? But I'm liking the fact that Swinton are starting to make a comeback. John Duffy's got a pretty good squad together there. And like I was saying, the fact that Mick Nanning can't even get anywhere near the team suggests how strong they've been, doesn't it?
This weekend, the road to Wembley starts again. Lee Miners, can they join the big guns as the only amateur in the village?
Well, they're playing against York City Knights, who, you know, I've had to go on the road, haven't they? Because they've not got a home ground that they can play at the moment. I don't know what's going on there, by the way, but we'll try and find out and get some definitive answers one way or another. Miners have been going great guns in their own competition. They're actually top of the National Conference League at the moment. Fascinating tie in prospect there. The one I'm looking out for though, Adrian, and you're going to be surprised here, because usually I'd say Lee against Salford, wouldn't I? But I'm actually going to go with Wakefield at home to Halifax. I think that Wakefield are there for the taking after the way that they performed over the last few weeks. And Halifax, well, they're on the up as well.
Well, we'll be with our team, North Wales Crusaders. Good luck to the guys from Wrexham as they take on Feversham Rovers, and hopefully they'll be flying the flag into round 6.